Your chest tightens, your breathing becomes shallow. Catastrophic thoughts flood your mind. You're certain something terrible is about to happen. This is panic, and it feels utterly real. Yet here's the paradox. The very thoughts meant to protect you are creating the danger you fear. What if the enemy isn't out there in the world, but inside your own mind? And what if defeating that enemy doesn't require medication, but simply learning to see through its tricks? This radical idea challenges everything we've been told about anxiety. We're taught that chemical imbalances require pharmaceutical fixes, that our brains are broken and need repair. But decades of research tell a different story. When 2/3 of people recover from depression simply by reading about cognitive techniques, when anxiety vanishes the moment someone addresses a hidden emotion, we're forced to reconsider. Maybe the problem isn't biological malfunction, but distorted thinking. The thoughts racing through your anxious mind follow predictable patterns. Fortune-telling that predicts disaster, mind-reading that assumes judgment, all-or-nothing thinking that sees only extremes. These aren't random mental glitches, they're systematic distortions that can be identified, challenged, and changed. Understanding this simple truth opens the door to genuine freedom. Anxiety is like a locked room with three exits. The cognitive model offers the first: change your thoughts, change your feelings. When attorney Jeffrey lost an important case, he feared professional ruin. Yet when he confessed his failure, colleagues either barely noticed or shared their own setbacks. This is the acceptance paradox. What we hide isolates us, while vulnerability connects us. The second exit is the exposure model. Confront your fear and it loses power. During medical school, Burns faced his severe blood phobia by volunteering in a trauma center. After 10 minutes treating a bombing victim, his anxiety vanished completely. This technique, called flooding, works because anxiety cannot sustain itself when you stop avoiding what frightens you. The third pathway is the hidden emotion model. Anxiety often masks feelings we won't acknowledge, particularly anger. Brent, a beloved teacher, was hospitalized for panic attacks after his wife announced her pregnancy. When he finally shared his concerns about balancing teaching with fatherhood, his anxiety disappeared that day. Sometimes what presents as mental illness is simply unexpressed truth seeking escape. A landmark study found placebo achieved 32% recovery, while Zoloft managed only 25%. FDA data reveals 75-80% of antidepressant effects come from placebo response. The chemical imbalance theory originated from pharmaceutical marketing, not rigorous science. Despite decades of research, no compelling evidence exists that serotonin deficiency causes depression or anxiety. This doesn't mean medications never help. For severe cases, they provide crucial support. But for mild to moderate anxiety and depression, psychological techniques often prove more effective and sustainable. The chemical imbalance narrative has convinced millions their struggles are purely biological, undermining their sense of agency. When we believe our brains are broken, we stop believing we can fix ourselves. Yet countless people have discovered that by changing thought patterns and behaviors, lasting recovery becomes possible without pharmaceutical intervention. If anxiety is so miserable, why do we cling to it? Sam developed PTSD after being robbed at gunpoint. His anxiety made him feel vigilant and protected, while his anger preserved his pride. He rated the costs at 70% and benefits at 30%, yet that 30% was enough to keep him stuck for years. Eileen forgot her homework assignments until admitting she preferred staying anxious and depressed. Her advantages? Getting attention from her husband, avoiding housework and job hunting, playing victim, justifying her drinking, and feeling special. Many people remain stuck because their misery serves a purpose. The Daily Mood Log breaks this resistance through 5 steps. Describe an upsetting event, identify and rate your emotions, list negative thoughts and rate belief in them, identify cognitive distortions, then challenge each thought with realistic alternatives. This isn't positive thinking, it's rigorous examination of whether your thoughts match reality. Marcia, a therapist worried about her daughter Leslie, discovered her anxiety connected to unresolved guilt about another daughter who had died years earlier. When she challenged her belief that she was responsible for that death, her anxiety about Leslie decreased dramatically. Self-defeating beliefs are rigid formulas like, I need X to feel happy, or if Y happens, it means Z about me. Perfectionism demands flawlessness. Self-defeating beliefs are rigid formulas like, I need X to feel happy, or if Y happens, it means Z about me. Perfectionism demands flawlessness. Achievement addiction ties worth to accomplishments. Approval addiction requires universal validation. These aren't preferences. They're impossible rules for happiness. Nate, a medical professor, felt perpetually inadequate despite success. Using the pleasure-perfection balance sheet, he tracked satisfaction against perfection ratings. His prestigious lecture, 90% Perfect, with a standing ovation, brought only 20% satisfaction. Fixing a broken pipe at 5% perfection gave him 100% satisfaction. This shattered his belief that if I can't do something perfectly, it's not worth doing. He'd overlooked countless joys, walks with his wife, squash with his son, because they didn't meet perfection standards. Changing beliefs requires three steps: perform a cost-benefit analysis, weighing advantages against disadvantages, revise the belief to preserve benefits while eliminating drawbacks, then test through real-world experiments. Intellectual understanding isn't enough. You must experience the truth emotionally. So love addiction, try, while loving relationships are wonderful, my happiness can't depend entirely on someone else. Then test it. Compare satisfaction from solo versus social activities. Often, solo pursuits bring unexpected joy we've been too blind to notice. Approximately 75% of anxious patients are avoiding an obvious problem. When addressed directly, anxiety typically vanishes, revealing the mental illness was suppressed truth-seeking expression. Terry's first panic attack struck in Jamaica when another couple expected her to pay for their trip. Too nice to express anger, she hyperventilated instead, her body indirectly communicating, "I won't pay," without confrontation. Marcy, 71, had worried chronically for 50 years, constantly imagining her sons dying in accidents. The hidden emotion technique revealed unexpressed anger toward her family. She disliked her sons' new wives and had never expressed anger toward her husband. Her worrying fantasies were disguised rage, symbolically killing off family members while maintaining her role as loving wife. Corey, a pathology resident, developed extreme contamination fears after cadaver tissue flew into his eye. His ritualistic preparation took over an hour, threatening his career. The truth? He hated pathology, a career his father had chosen. After securing an ER position, his contamination fears vanished completely. Sometimes, mental illness is simply our psyche's desperate attempt to communicate what we're afraid to say directly. You now have over 40 techniques across cognitive, exposure, and hidden emotion approaches. The Recovery Circle method helps you find what works. Place your troubling thought in the center, then try at least 15 techniques around it. Most won't work. You'll typically need 10 to 15 attempts before finding the effective one. The goal is to fail as fast as you can to discover what actually helps. Helen, an electrical engineer with a PhD from MIT, developed body dysmorphic disorder after a minor nose injury. Despite complete healing, she became convinced there was an ugly scar, preventing her from leaving the house during daylight. Multiple techniques failed until she courageously tested her beliefs by smiling at 20 strangers at a Beverly Hills shopping center. 15 responded positively, 5 neutrally, none negatively. Then she dressed outrageously in a purple feathered hat, red dress, Mardi Gras beads, and sequin shoes. People were even friendlier. Her fears completely disappeared. There's a critical difference between feeling better, when anxiety disappears temporarily, and getting better, having tools to deal with these feelings for life. Relapse is certain. Prepare by creating a relapse daily mood log while feeling good, identifying negative thoughts you might have during setbacks, and developing positive responses in advance. The path out of anxiety isn't about becoming a different person. It's about seeing clearly for the first time. Your anxious thoughts aren't protecting you. They're imprisoning you. The moment you stop believing them, you're free.